Welcome to the Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Podcast, where we explore the unexplained and mysterious phenomena that have occurred throughout the state of Michigan and beyond.
From UFO sightings to ghostly encounters, we delve deep into the stories, the evidence, and the theories behind these strange events.
We are your hosts. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Wayne.
We are an educator duo that after an encounter with a triangular UFO in 2018 in Michigan, we decided to investigate UFOs and the paranormal. In this podcast, we will be speaking with eyewitnesses, experts, and researchers to uncover the truth about some of the most intriguing cases of paranormal activity in and around Michigan.
Our goal is not to convince anyone of the existence of these phenomena, but rather to provide a platform for discussion and exploration. So, buckle up and join us on this journey down the paranormal rabbit hole.
On an escalator.
Well. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Yep.
Guess what's back?
Back with the original title.
Yes.
We'll get into that in just a little bit.
Yes. So here we are on Easter Eve, March 30th, 2024. And it is nasty and cold when we just got back from being out in Nevada.
I've spent the day watching Chicago Fire.
Yes, you are.
No joke.
Watching another one of your PD fire department type shows. So look at everybody in chat. Hey, everybody.
It's like, thank you, Dick Wolf, for producing those.
Yeah. Yeah. Good shows. Good shows. I don't watch a lot of TV, but those are pretty interesting. So, hey, let's see. What do we got going on here? We got Jason Finch, who's in the house tonight.
We've got Intergalactic Angler and Aaron's Energy. We've got Guy Merritt.
We got Diane Boss is here.
Blue Crossroads has joined us tonight.
Yep. And there's a host of other people that are watching. Okay. They're just staying quiet or
for now
watching while they're doing something else. But hello, guys. Oh, look, it's Rick Davis.
Oh, Eddie's here tonight. Don't forget Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Eddie is here. So welcome, Eddie.
Eddie's doing some like crazy catch up listening to all the prior shows.
Yep. So
like me
tonight,
binge watching shows. I get it. I completely get it.
So tonight, let's see, we're going to talk about a few things. So yeah.
Well, we're back and we're both suffering from West Coast time. So
we've only been back like 2 days now and we were out 3 hour time change and now we're back here in lovely Michigan.
It's rained all day
and it's been nothing but gloom and rain and made us think about why we went out west in the first place. So yeah, but what we're going to talk about, a few things. Number one, we changed the name of the show back to what it originally was. There's some ideas and some things that we need to discuss about that.
Yeah, Wayne had to put that survey out while we were on vacation. Well, I want to let everybody know that he was giving me hourly updates how the votes were going.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for it. There's a legit reason for it. Why we first thought about in changing the name to Pit Chat. And then there's a big reason why
we got rid of it real fast.
We got rid of it. And I think people will agree with our reasons. So let's see, what else are we going to talk about? We got that February 2024 Aero report that we never really touched on because everybody else was talking about it. So there's a few things I want to go over on the Aero report. Not too much, because coming up in May, we're going to have the one, the only, our favorite UFO author, Ray Szymanski, coming on the show to actually talk about the Aero report and other attempts to maintain the UFO status quo. That'll be on May 12th, and I'll talk more about the shows that are coming up. Let's just say that Ray's got some very important news and insider information from certain people in the Air Force that he knows about all this stuff.
Yeah, so some info to come with that. And
yep.
And then, hell, we might as well talk about the eclipse coming up on April 8th, too.
Yeah, let's get into that. And then the future of the podcast. Where are we going? What's going to happen? What's coming up? And things like that. So let's kick this off.
Let's talk about the name change, Wayne.
All right. Yes. Happy Easter. Yes. To people in chat. And if people are listening to the audio version of this and you want to get in on the chat, we have some of the coolest chat people in our chat rooms live. Get over to YouTube, find our channel, Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Podcast, and subscribe and turn on that notification bell. And guess what? When we go live, you'll be notified. You can come in and chat with all of us live. So very interactive show when we do these. All right. Name change.
Happy Easter, Dorothy. I see you've joined us. She's listening in tonight. Oh,
yep. Mama Dorothy Hawkins is here.
All right. So name change.
Name change.
Why'd you put the poll out there, Wayne?
All right. Here's the here. Okay. Let's quick perspective change here for a second. The reason we were tossing around changing the name in the first place to Pit Chat was because we were thinking, you know what, let's open up the podcast to more types of guests and more different types of conversations and things. And it was a good idea, and we came up with Pit Chat.
I mean, because we've gotten like the archaeology and the ancient technology. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but so does paranormal, right? That's not normal stuff. That's above the paranormal or above the normal. So, you know, that's paranormal. All right. So there was that. Fast forward after about a couple months, I start getting emails to the old email address requesting all of these people that want to come on the podcast. And this is their publicist and their agents, and they're wanting to come on the Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters podcast. Well, it don't exist anymore. I mean, we are still talking about weird and unusual stuff on Pit Chat, but there was a whole bunch of people, and as you guys will see with our lineup coming up, that wanted to come on the show. And the whole topic of UFOs and paranormal, I thought, was starting to die off. And I was like, let's just talk about other stuff. Let's just do it. Well, was I wrong? Things have picked up like crazy when it comes to UFOs and the paranormal. And we had, and we still have, a pretty established show. And we get recognized quite a bit for the Michigan UFO sightings. So I decided, let's put a poll out there, Michelle. Shall we go back? And you were like, no.
And meanwhile, you know, we're on vacation.
We're on vacation.
Trying to give our brains a break. And it was still back to business. It didn't matter where we were at.
Because, well, I was getting emails. I was getting emails constantly, and I was getting dinged. Hey, we'd like to come on your show. We'd like to come on the Michigan UFO Sighting Show. Okay, all right. We can. But however, just know that it's called Pit Chat now. So we put out, and this is Michelle's adopted sister, basically.
Okay. My girl, Nicola, is kind of like, you. I mean, we know the phrase sister from another mister.
Right.
This girl and I went to high school together. We instantly like clicked like we were family. She's the reason that Wayne and I ever met in 93.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many miles apart we are. I mean, we can instantly pick up from wherever we left off in a conversation, because she is down south. She's in Georgia, and obviously we're here in Michigan. So she kind of kicked off the discussion with her thoughts of what Pit Chat sounded like.
Okay, so Guy was the first. Guy Merritt, who has been a guest on the show many times. He's in the chat room right now. And it's Janine Hollis, by the way, in chat. Hello, Janine. So Guy was the first one to respond. And he was very, you know, being Guy, you know, he's never very level-headed or focused. Right? But he goes, I guess it depends on your focus. Nothing wrong with expanding the focus either. But if you're going to focus on UFOs and paranormal stuff, I kind of like the original name. On the other hand, I'm wrong frequently. That's Guy's post. And of course, I'm cracking up reading that. But, you know, that's a typical Guy thing. Here's a download of information for you to, you know, like, have jumping around inside your brain, but also know that I'm crazy and wrong all the time. So take it for what it's worth. So we giggled about that. And then comes the sister from another mister.
Here comes Nicola's comment.
Here's Nicola's comment. And I got to be honest with you. Guy talks about, you know, being wrong all the time. He's not all that smart, yada, yada. Well, I think Michelle and I both had massive brain farts when we were thinking about Pit Chat, because we thought about sitting around a fire, right? And I had this grandiose idea of when we get our new house and stuff, we were going to have a fire pit outside. We'd invite people over to be guests, and we could sit around a fire pit and record the podcast, right? It would be like an outdoor studio. Thanks, Dorothy. Dorothy, and for the super chat of $2. Thank you very much. She says, by whatever name, I love this show and these folks. Well, thank you very much, Dorothy. You know, we love you as well. So here's what Nicola said. Nicola just summed it up very first. I really need to commit to remembering to tune in. Yes, you do, Nicola. Second, I like both. By both, she means both names. But the old name tells me exactly what I'm tuning into. The new name makes me think NASCAR talk. Mic drop.
That was enough for me.
That was enough for me as well. Not one time did I think of NASCAR or racing.
There was a time that I was forced to watch NASCAR races on Sundays with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
So somehow the thoughts of left turn just kind of went over and over in my head. I was like, oh God, here we go. Well, I'm like, this is not, no, Pit Chat was supposed to be fire pit, mountains, right. Nice, cool air. You know, I get by a fire pit and I can't shut up. I'll talk about anything.
Here's the thing, right?
Then that happened.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We wanted to call it Fire Pit Chat. And when I was looking up the names to see if it was available, it wasn't. And weird enough, it was taken by a golfing podcast. Now, there's sand pits. I don't know of any golf place that plays.
Only if the fire pit's at the clubhouse and they're drinking after nine holes.
Well, generally that's it, right? I mean, they catch a golf cart on fire and they put poor Joe in the burning fire cart.
Do NASCAR in a golf cart.
And then he's doing NASCAR in the golf court or the golf course and smashes into a sand pit and then catches the whole place on fire. Mini golf. I don't know, intergalactic.
I can rock mini golf, but I can't drive a ball.
So anyways, 97% of all of our votes said switch it back to Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Podcast. Well, we did. And so you might see some thumbnails out there and stuff that still say Pit Chat on them and things like that. But yeah, we're going to stay Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters.
I just have to take a deep breath.
Yeah, we just have to
before I say Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Podcast.
Got to start working on some cardio to get those lungs built up. You know, that's what I got to do. I mean, and Michigan, but you know,
That is the reason why.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome.
So, an Aaron traumatic, yes, very traumatic seeing my girl Nicole's post about the NASCAR. And I mean, no digs on anyone who enjoys NASCAR. It's just not right. my thing.
Yeah.
If I want to fall asleep really fast, I'll watch it. But
there's a little tie to why, you know, everybody's got that thing, right? It's like you don't like something because it's tied to a person that, you know, you didn't get along with or something went bad with or whatever. Well, there you go. So, and honestly, I never cared for racing very much. And so NASCAR, that's why it never dawned on me.
Now, I've watched Formula Race. I mean, I've been at Formula Races. I was at the Formula Race where the tire came off and bounced over and killed a bunch of people in the stands because the lug nuts came through the fence.
Yep.
I remember being at that race. So, I don't know. Just, it wasn't my thing. I'd rather watch a good football game.
Yeah, let's take a quick look here at what Diane says. She goes, do you remember... I met Gemma Jade on your show for the first time when you guys had her on as a guest on my birthday. I didn't know it was your birthday, but happy birthday. Yeah, we love
Gemma. Gemma's good people.
Gemma is good people. She says, I have been following her ever since. And then Blue Crossroads comes in with, Diane, it was Gemma who dragged me over here. Now I stay. Well, welcome.
Mwahaha.
Yep. Now you've been trapped. In our little corner of the world.
Little UFO.
Yep.
Still Pit Chat family. We're.
Let's see. Oh, look at what Aaron said.
I see that.
I had an ex who dragged me to races constantly. I'll never get that time back. That is exactly right. This is what I tell my students.
We might
all the
have
time.
To be each other's support system on this.
So start a support group. But I tell my students this all the time. It is like, you know, stop wasting your time because that's the one resource we never, ever get back.
When they say that you learn from your mistakes.
Yep. Yep. So anyways, everybody, that is the podcast name change while we went through this little, I guess we had an identity crisis for a minute and now we are back and, yeah. So let's see. Dorothy says all UFO sightings are encounters. Correct. But not all are sightings, right? I think of sightings as somehow distant. Michigan UFO and paranormal encounters would do well. One word less, no less meaning. Oh, I see what you're saying. Michigan UFO and paranormal encounters would do well.
She's
gotcha.
Trying to give me some of my breaths back when I have to say the title.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I had thought about taking encounters off, just Michigan UFO sightings and paranormal podcast too. So, but anyways, we're stuck with it. We've got the shirts and stuff, so we might as well get just
and
speaking of
cards.
That, if you guys want to check out our
merch.
Our merchandise. There you go.
Our driver swag.
Yeah. www.miufopodcaststore.online. So we have shirts and hoodies and tank tops and some really cool drinking glasses, too.
All right. Well, let's get over to the report because I know that we were going to have a little bit of a shorter show tonight so that we can give you guys a heads up as to what's coming up for the month of April and May.
Right. Okay, so let's go ahead and I'm going to share this report with you guys. Most of you are very much familiar with this already. So just something I want to point out. And like I said, we're going to go over this in depth with Ray. All right, there we go. Ba-da-boom. Let's go back to this one. I like that view right there. Okay, so this right here is the February. And by the way, this report, and just like the other UAP reports that went in front of Congress, are all up in the files section of our Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Facebook group. So if you're not a part of that group, get over there and join the group, and we'll let you in. So this is March 6, 2024, when it was open for publication, but it was reported to closed hearings in February when it was due. So they went to closed hearings. And this is the Department of Defense All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Volume 1. There's going to be another volume. Now, pros and cons. Just right off the bat. If you guys haven't read this, I haven't read the whole thing yet. 60 pages. 64 pages. Something like that. 63. Pros. Very well written. I'll give it that. It gets very granular and going back to 1945 and talking about the different programs. Very, very, very what do I want to say? Very good descriptions of what those old programs were. They did a great job making them short and sweet and talking about like Project Grudge, Project Sign, what they were, or at least how they're defining themselves. Okay. So well written, good historical information. Here comes the cons. You have a governmental agency that is investigating itself. I got a great idea. Let's find the most corrupt organization in the world, whatever you think that is, some kind of corporation or business or whatever. And let's tell them they need to put a report together, put a committee together of employees and investigate themselves and tell us the truth. Are you going to buy it? Of course not. Of course not. Hey, Straw Dog, welcome. And then there's Lance. Hey, Lance, welcome. And just to interrupt here, I can't find you guys on iHeartRadio or anything anymore. Did you guys change your name, your podcast name? Yes. It's back to the original, what you see on the screen right now.
Yeah, so I just typed in the original title for you, Lance.
Yep, yep. So pros and cons, okay? So let's take a quick look at this. Here's all the pages. And I just want to go through this because, look, there are people out there who are dead set that if they don't have an alien arm or a foot or something presented in front of them, that it's not the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Just throw it out the door. Okay. Then we got the people that say it's the U.S. government. Oh, okay. Right? It's our stuff. Maybe. I doubt it. Okay. It could be experimental aircraft, but no. Then you got the people who believe it's spiritual in nature. These are interdimensional beings and they are the Nephilim. They are fallen angels, all of that stuff. There are very much some similarities to abductions and things like that. Okay, fine. All right, I'm just trying to identify some of the camps here. And then we've got people who see things. Michelle and I have this experience. We have no evidence other than the story and what happened to us. And that's pretty much it.
I got a question for you. Do they start off all of these Arrow reports with the same thing in section one in the introduction?
Yes.
Every single time?
Pretty much.
So they can't just cut to the chase?
They do. We're going to jump to that.
Okay.
All right. So as Michelle was saying, section one, introduction. This report represents volume one of the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or Arrow, A-A-R-O, Historical Record Report HR2, which reviews the record of the United States government, or USG, pertaining to unidentified anomalous phenomenon. Okay, so there you go. They tell you right there in the first sentence who they are. It's volume one. This is not everything they're going to release. And this is a historical record report. All right, cool. Since 1945, the USG has funded and supported UAP investigations with the goal of determining whether UAP represented a flight safety risk, technological leaps by competitor nations, or evidence of off-world technology under intelligence control. So they're admitting that the government since the 40s, 1945, has been funding and looking into UAPs. This is a real thing. Even though this is where a problem comes in, they've been screaming for years the government doesn't investigate this stuff. They just said it. Yes, they do. So it says these investigations were managed and implemented by a range of experts, scientists, academics, military, and intelligence officials under different leaders, all of whom held their own perspectives that led them to particular conclusions on the origins of UAPs. However, they all had in common the belief that UAP represented an unknown and therefore theoretically posed a potential threat of indeterminate nature. Okay. Arrow's mission is similar to that of these early organizations. Arrow's methodology applies both the scientific method and intelligence analyst or analysis tradecraft to identify and help mitigate risk UAP may pose to domain safety and to discover, characterize, and attribute potential competitor technology systems. They're not talking to me and Michelle. They're not talking to you if you had an encounter. Okay? They're not talking to the normal person who says they were abducted. That's not what Arrow's job is. And they're telling you that right there. First of all, you cannot apply the scientific method to this. You have no repeatable experiments you can do. Therefore, you cannot do the scientific method. As a science teacher and a scientist myself, I can tell you, if you can't put it in the laboratory, like you can't put God in the laboratory, guess what? You can't measure it. You can't test it. Therefore, according to science, it's not a thing. So, of course, guess what they're going to come up with? Bupkis. Nothing. All right. There you go.
Yeah, I teach English, and I know that they can't use the scientific method.
Right. You got to be able to make a hypothesis. There's got to be a null hypothesis.
Yeah, but the non-science-based person that doesn't know that, they're going to read that and hold it as a truth.
And a lot of people that are out there screaming that aliens don't exist and that these things aren't real and there are craft and all that, they don't have basic science literacy.
Yeah, Aaron says something that we've heard before about the vibration that people have. So she said, I have a theory about the people that have encounters. These folks tend to vibrate and live their lives at a higher frequency. So as far as the people who are actually drawing those encounters,
people can manifest things in their life depending on the energy they put out, right? If you walk around all negative and, you know, princess poopy pants, and
you're going to draw negativity.
Guess what's going to show up at your door? Yeah, of course. And your perspective of the world and everything around you will be negative, right? So your energy and how you control your thoughts and stuff. And we're very powerful creatures. We can make ourselves very sick just with thought. We can sometimes heal ourselves with thought, right? We can do amazing things. So come on. All right. So anyways, let's move on. I'm going to fast forward now to section 2, the part that will start to burn some people's butts. Section 2, the executive summary. Here we go. Arrow found no evidence that any U.S. government investigation, academic-sponsored research, or official review panel has confirmed that any sighting of a UAP represented extraterrestrial technology. Now, Michelle, you're an English teacher. How can you pull that apart? What are they falsifying in that statement? take a close look, put on your teacher hat. What are they confirming? That any sighting of a UAP represented extraterrestrial technology.
Traveling near New Boston, Michigan? Hungry? Well then, you need to check out New Boston Coney and Grill tucked away at 37005 Huron River Drive. With daily specials, homemade soups and desserts, and a staff that makes you feel like family, you will not be disappointed. Give them a try for dine-in or carry-out at 734-606-5313. You can find their page, including their menu, on Facebook. Bon appetit.
Is that what we're asking them to do?
No.
No. All investigative efforts at all levels of classification concluded that most sightings were ordinary objects and phenomenon and the result of misidentification.
Now here we go with the sky trash.
Yep. Although not the focus of this report, it is worthwhile to note that all official foreign UAP investigatory efforts to date have reached the same general conclusions as the United States government investigations. Bullet point one, although many UAP reports remain unsolved or unidentified, Arrow assesses that if more and better quality data were available, most of these cases also could be identified and resolved as ordinary objects or phenomenon. No, they can't. You know why? Because you're trying to apply the scientific method to something that you don't have a way to test. Sensors and visual observations are imperfect. The vast majority of cases lack actionable data, or the data available is limited or of poor quality. Dun, dun, dun.
I just look at these and the wordiness and the fact that they just continue to drag on and on and on without getting to the point frustrates me. This is like reading a seventh grade essay.
Yep. And the people, and what this does is that this right here, that thing, it empowers the people that say, show me the evidence, right? They yell on their shows and they're yelling and screaming and getting all excited. Everybody's a liar, right? Well, then show me the evidence. And what do they have backing them up? Well, they got a U.S. government document that's backing them up.
But
and they can say
the
that.
Scientific method.
But so what? It doesn't matter. You're talking about human science to something that's probably not human at all. Let's jump down to the next bold point here. I get a little worked up when I hear people yelling and screaming like that. Arrow found no empirical evidence. Of course not. There is no evidence for claims that the U.S. government and private companies have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Arrow determined, based on all information provided to date, that claims involving specific people, known locations, they're talking about David Grush here, known locations, technological tests, and documents allegedly involved in or related to the reverse engineering of extraterrestrial technologies are inaccurate. Additional claims will be addressed in volume 2, of course, while they work on their cover story. Dude, what? Okay. All right. Everybody remember that. Okay. And I'm going to go to one other point here. I'm going to go to another page. You guys are going to laugh, all right, when I read this next thing to you. And then I'm saving the rest of this till we have
Ray on.
Because Ray is the expert. Ray worked at Wright-Patterson. His first day there, the guy was like, over there is where we keep the aliens and the crashed aircraft parts. We're talking about the 1947 stuff. Right? Now, was he joking around? Maybe. Would you joke around if you're in a formal investigation with a, you know, you got Arrow people coming, or somebody like Lou Elizondo, take him for what he is. But he was investigating this stuff, right? He has government credentials, and he goes up to somebody and says, did you guys see UFOs or know of parts or know of off-world intelligences? They're going to sit there and make stuff up to him? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. All right. So again, one more time, Arrow found no empirical evidence for claims that the U.S. government and private companies have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Arrow determined, based on all information provided to date, that claims involving specific people, known locations, S4, technological test, like anti-gravity engines, TR-3B.
Yeah, what came to my mind, too.
I hate that TR-3B shit. I'm sorry. Excuse my French. Pardon moi. And documents allegedly involved in or related to the reverse engineering of extraterrestrial technology are inaccurate. Additional claims will be addressed in volume 2. Okay. All right. Are you guys ready? Let's do this. I'm jumping to page. And if you want to follow along with these lovely government documents, go to page 34 of the PDF. Well, well, well. So here's all the rest of the pages after what I was just reading. Talk about Project Sign, Project Grudge, this project, Project Blue Book, the Condon Report, right? They go through and they talk about that. Well, here's something you might not know of. Kona Blue, a proposed UAP recovery and reverse engineering program.
But they debunked everything 33 pages ago.
But Kona Blue was an actual real UAP recovery and reverse engineering program.
Man, check it's also the color this. Of my last car.
Dude, but check this out. All right. Well, that last car was a UFO. Piece of crap. All right. Anyways, Kona Blue was brought to Arrow's attention by interviewees who claimed that it was a sensitive DHS compartment to cover up the retrieval and exploitation of non-human biologics. Does that sound familiar? It's in our intro. That's Grush talking about non-human biologics. Kona Blue traces its origin to the Defense Intelligence Agency. That's what that is. The Defense Intelligence Agency managed
ATIP program,
right? And OSAP, right? Those were Elizondo's programs. Yeah. Which was funded through a special appropriation and executed by its primary contractor, a private sector organization. Guess who that was? Who owned Skinwalker Ranch and was friends with Harry Reid?
Mm-hmm.
The billionaire. What was his name, guys? Right? What was his name? Hey, Woo Riders. What's up? Welcome to chat. Yeah, happy Easter Eve. What? Kona Blue like a weed strain.
Like I said, it was the color of my last car.
What was the name of the guy who owns, you know, the space program? He builds things for the space program. Owns Skinwalker Ranch. It starts with a B. Bigelow. There it is, Aaron. You got it. Ding, ding, ding. Yep. Bigelow Industries. Okay. DIA. Now listen to this. So it managed OSAP and ATIP program, which was funded through a special appropriation and executed by its primary contractor, a private sector organization. Let's call that Bigelow Industries. DIA canceled the program in 2012 due to lack of merit and the utility of the deliverables. As discussed in Section 4 of this report, while the official purpose of ASOP ATIP was to conduct research into 12 areas of cutting-edge science, the contractor team and at least one supportive government program manager also conducted UAP and paranormal research at a property owned, a property, Skinwalker Ranch, owned by the private sector organization. Ding. Now, is this all starting to make sense? When DIA canceled this program, its supporters proposed to DHS, Department of Homeland Security, that they create and fund a new version of ASOP and ATIP under ASAP, ASAP. The proposal, codenamed Kona Blue, would restart UAP investigations, paranormal research, including alleged human consciousness anomalies, and reverse engineer any recovered off-world spacecraft that they hoped to acquire. This proposal gained some initial traction at DHS to the point where a prospective special access program, PSAP, was officially requested to stand up this program, but it was eventually rejected by DHS leadership for lack of merit, as demonstrated by the proposal package and by statements from the originator. Senators Lieberman and Reed asked that the PSAP, the PSAP, be established with the promise of additional funding. The proposed Kona Blue lines of effort closely mirrored those conducted by the private sector organization for OSAP and ATIP. So here's the thing. If this is like becoming a pain in the ass to follow, Kona Blue was the next step after they shut down ATIP and OSAP, right? That was Elizondo's stuff. They were shutting that down, but they were going to start another one, Kona Blue, for these exact reasons of UAP retrieval and reverse engineering. It was called Kona Blue. That was the proposal. Now, if you don't think that that thing is actually real and going on, I got something for you. You want some swampland? $1 million. Give me 5,000 Bitcoin and it's yours.
Oh, they just contradict themselves within 30 pages.
Yeah.
You know, 30 pages ago, they're saying there is, you know, nothing that is reverse engineered.
Yeah.
But hey, if you read on about 32 pages later and you see Kona Blue and you're a private organization.
So I'm going to skip around here just a little bit more. I want to go down to this bold area here. It is critical to note that no extraterrestrial craft or bodies were ever collected. This material was only assumed to exist by Kona Blue advocates and its anticipated contract performers. This was the same assumption made by those same individuals involved with the OSAP and ATIP programs. The SAP was never approved or stood up, and no data or material was transferred to DHS. Bullet point. Kona Blue was not reported to Congress at that time because it was never established as a SAP and, therefore, did not meet the threshold for congressional reporting. However, the Deputy Secretary of Defense provided a congressional notification concerning the program when it was identified in the spirit of transparency. So we're talking about it. We got people advocating for it. We're going to set it up. We're just not going to say anything that this is, you know, this is something we were going to do. Here's what happened. And this is my speculation. They were going to set this up. This was to take the place of OSAP and ATIP. And they were going to work on some kind of materials or something they have or found. And they were just moving it under a different name. That name was Kona Blue. Guess what? Transparency. And then Representative Burchett shows up. All of these people now show up and are witnesses. And now they have to stop Kona Blue. Bada boom, bada bing, it never existed. They just talked about it, but there was nothing there. There was no merit to it. Are you kidding me? That is a snow job. Now, of course, from my perspective, I'm looking at this and going, of course it's a cover up. They got busted. They were going to get Kona Blue all set up, and then transparency hit them hard. And now they had to shut that down, and they're going to report on the fact that they were going to shut it down. But why was it made? For UAP retrieval and reverse engineering. They say it themselves. That's what that government program was for. Come on. Come on. Yeah, there was no Guy Merritt to their Kona Blue program. Guy Merritt. Hey, Barry, welcome.
You know, well, it's easy to eat. How many pages is this report?
It is 63, but when you look at everything else, what's really cool, I'm going to tell you what I like about this is they have a conclusion. It is very precise. They go through and they talk about the previous and programs over the past, and they do a good job documenting it. But here's their conclusion, section 9. To date, Arrow has not discovered any empirical evidence. Here we go again. That any sighting of a UAP represented off-world technologies or the existence, I think that's supposed to be, of a classified program that had not been properly reported to Congress. See, that's the thing. Congress wants to know, where the hell is all this damn money going, people? What are these black programs? Okay. You got people coming forward, putting their life on the line and risking everything and saying these are reverse engineered UAP programs. Okay. And they're coming out and saying, no, they're not. They're Project Sentinel. It's a UAV developed by Lockheed Martin Skunk Works for the U.S. Air Force.
Here's the thing. It is easy to hide things in a 60-something page document. They repeat themselves or they contradict themselves. But to have this much of a document to tell you that they don't have anything going on, they haven't collected anything, they haven't seen anything, there haven't been any reports with any validity to them.
Right.
And we're just going to say it seven different times, seven different ways.
And you're going to get volume 2 of this as well.
I say
the wording, the opening line to me says it all. The scientific method. How? You have nothing, supposedly. If you say you have nothing, then you cannot apply the scientific method to it.
I just call bullshit when it takes this many pages.
Yeah. And a volume 2. There's going to be a volume 2. Like I said, there's pros and cons to this. Everybody, get over to our Facebook group. Go into the files section, and you can download this. This is public information, and read it yourselves. And this has gone through the Dopser stuff, so it's all approved to be out there. And honestly, you know, is it a nothing burger? I'm not going to say it's a nothing burger. It shows how they are parsing their words. You got lawyers involved, obviously.
Oh, yes. This is
this is lawyer speak. I mean, Arrow has not discovered any empirical evidence that any sighting of a UAP represented off-world technology. Who'd you talk to? Who did you talk to? Really? How about the fighter pilots in 1966? Well, now they're dead. That were flying around here in Ann Arbor chasing a disc that made them look like fools in 1966. Okay. Swamp gas. All right. Did you talk to them? Of course you didn't. Because they're dead now. But who are these people you're talking to? Okay. And if Grush says, hey, somebody told me that Northrop Grumman has pieces of a UFO or Lockheed Skunk Works, and they're trying to figure out how this material works, you don't think those people are going to move that? Just follow the money. Why are you siphoning off money to these people and Congress doesn't know about it? So it's,
you know what? Wrap it up. Save it for when we have Ray on.
Yeah.
So we'll have more of a discussion from his input. Ooh, yeah. Stars of Night Vision. There's a bad name to say.
Stars of Night Vision.
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Let's not get into her and her shenanigans. But anyways, all right, everybody. There's that whole thing right there. I would advise you, before we have Ray on, go ahead, download that from our files section, join our Facebook group, click on the files link, and download that and read it, because we're going to talk about it with Ray. All right. Oh. So that's my rant for today, because I can't.
All right. Fast forward, everyone. April 8th. Where's everyone going to be for for the eclipse? Since the last time that we had one of those come across was 2017. I remember where I was for the 2017 one. I was at work. I was inside my classroom. I remember the outside getting very, very dim.
Yep.
So I can assume that that's what's going to, you know, be the deal this time at about what, 3:08?
Yeah.
I know for those here,
I was on my prep.
I know coming up April 8th, for those who are here in Michigan, from the reports that I've read, a couple different news stations, that Luna Pier, Michigan, which is around exit 2 or 3,
yeah, it's right on the border of Ohio and
is
Michigan,
going to be the best spot in Michigan to witness the eclipse. So, which is funny, because we've looked at, you know, like every now and then I'll go, you know, homes for sale in Luna Pier because it's on the water and it's still in Michigan.
Yep.
But I hope they have the area. But oh, that's right, they have the National Guard going into areas that are of the totality of the eclipse, because of all of the different theories, the fear mongering.
Well, and all of the people that are going to be driving on the road, going and getting gas from those places and putting a load on the resources and stuff. But just real quick, everybody watching and listening, this is our Facebook group here. All right. We have 7,100 members that have joined since then. If you look here where it says discussion, featured members, events, media, and files, if you click on files, there you go. There's the DOPSR cleared 508 compliant HRRV108 March 2024 final PDF. There's also the 2022 annual UAP report that they did. And then here's the DIRDs. These were the things, these defense intelligence research documents, I think is what they're called. These were the things that Bigelow and his scientists, his groups in OSAP and ATIP were working on. And this one was all about acute and subacute field effects on human tissue. I was interested in that one because of my thyroid. Yeah.
Well, Diane said that her birthday is April 8th. So the universe is giving you an eclipse, Diane.
Yeah.
So that is probably one of the coolest gifts. Yep. I'm hoping that our afternoon meeting is canceled that day, because I would like to go outside and even witness a partial one.
What I ended up doing in 2017, which was cool, because I was on my prep, so I didn't have any students. And there were some students outside. And I took a strainer, like a noodle strainer, and took it outside. And I just kind of held it up in the sky. And it projected the eclipse happening through those little holes onto the ground. So I was watching like 100 little shadow eclipses happening on the ground at that time. And that was really, really cool to be able to see. Definitely don't look at it.
So, and seriously, don't believe everything you read on the internet either right now, because lots of fear mongering. I've read about, what is it, 3 days of darkness, human sacrifice.
Yeah.
oh, what was it? I know somebody had said earlier about rockets being launched at the same time.
You want to know something that's weird, though?
Which that wouldn't surprise me.
What's going on in April 8th is there are two huge broods of cicadas that are hatching after 13 years of being dormant. So we're going to have locusts flying in the air. Yeah. So let's just start throwing the Bible at everybody and talk about three days of night. And
I will say this, if you ever want to scare the mess out of somebody, wait till those cicadas shed their skin.
Oh yeah.
Take the skin and just set it on the shoulder of someone. I used to do that to the kids on our eighth grade field trips because Washington, D.C., they would have like huge masses of cicadas. And while they're wonderful to listen to in moderation.
But there's two huge broods that are after 13 years of hibernating or getting ready to hatch are hatching on the 8th. So 13 years, they've been waiting for this day. And we're going to have cicadas all over the place.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what attendance is going to be like that day.
Yeah.
Wayne and I have already talked about that.
Guy says, when the demons and angels stuff starts, Guy checks out. Yes, Guy, we know. We know. We got you, Guy. You are very anti-religious. Yes, yes.
No, it's just like, again, all the fear-mongering.
Yeah. Well, there is some validity to it. Think about all the people who are going to take the day off work, get in their cars, and go to an area where they can see and be in the total eclipse. That is going to put a lot of people on the road who are generally stupid. You know,
the greatest drivers around recently.
They're going to treat it like a party. They're going to be drinking. They're going to be driving. They're going to definitely be smoking a lot of their favorite
Kona Blue.
Their Kona Blue strain of weed in driving vehicles. And don't say you don't do it, because every day I drive to work on the highway, I get a contact buzz.
Here's the thing. Anyone going southbound 75 to Luna Pier, just please remember that there is construction in Monroe County going south. And there's construction coming back.
Don't use up all the gas, because you're going to show up and want all
those
the gas.
Poor folks in Luna Pier are like, shut up, Michelle.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody else down here. Quit giving our little secret away.
All right.
All right. So, Wayne, what's coming up?
Okay.
In
so,
April
what's coming
and May?
Up? Yeah. So, here's a big reason why we went back to our original name, because we were getting contacted by a bunch of people that wanted to come on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and present this.
I don't think that we have an open Sunday now after tomorrow.
We do not. Tomorrow's we're doing this because we do have an opening tomorrow. But if I go to our lovely Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters YouTube channel, you guys can see, if you click on the live tab there, you can see the shows we got coming up. So obviously here we are. We're live right now. Then on the 4th, we've got Mainstream Scientist Abducted by Aliens with Dr. Bruce E. Rappinow. So he's a mainstream scientist, and he wrote a book about being abducted by aliens. So we're going to talk to him. And then one of our friendly neighborhood Facebook group members is a former Department of Defense or DOD employee, and is coming on the show on April 14th. And that is employee Nancy Timms. It's time for disclosure, and here's why. So, and she is connected with the Department of Defense. So there you go. Then on March 21st, we know we won't have Guy in the audience, because we're going to have John Myler on, and we're going to talk about aliens in the Bible, end times, and the biblical perspective on UFOs.
Yes. Covering all the angles.
Yes. And one of my favorite things about the Bible is Genesis 6. Everybody knows it. It's the giants and the Nephilim and the Nakash, the serpent, shiny ones that ruined it for everybody. Those were the ones that were kicked out of heaven. Those were the rebel angels that fell to earth on Mount Hermon. I like reading about this stuff and learning it. And then we've got, and I'm gonna kill their last name, Dr. Bill Coscola and his wife Jackie. And we're gonna talk about their investigation into the relationship between trauma and paranormal experiences. Ooh, we'll have something to talk to them about. That's on May 5th at 8 p.m. Then on May 12th, we have our best buddy, Ray Szymanski, coming on, talking about the Arrow Report, which we kind of went over a little bit, and other attempts to maintain the UFO status quo.
And yes, moms out there, that is Mother's Day.
Yes, it is.
So I told Wayne that it was okay to book that one since it is later at night.
Yeah. So that is Mother's Day. And then on May 19th, I think we have one spot open in May right now, and that's the last Sunday in May. We're going to have on a returning guest, Dr. Bruce Olev Solheim. He will be coming on, talking about his new book, saying, "We Are the Aliens, A Case of Alien-Human Integration." And he is such a cool guy to talk to, and a history professor. But man, does he have a paranormal and UFO connection that is just really, really cool. So yeah, so that's the lineup, and we are just getting hit left and right. I thought this year was going to be kind of quiet. Silly me. We have somebody for every weekend all the way to the end of May. So yes, yes, yes. Anyways,
busy couple of months.
Yeah, it's going to be busy around here. And you know what? It'll make the time go by fast because that means we only have about 2 months of school left. Yay. All right, everybody, just real quick, we're going to get out of here, but here's the deal. If you got a UFO story that you want to tell, send it to us, or a paranormal story. Send it to mi.ufo.podcast@gmail.com. If you're listening to this and wondering what happened with Pit Chat, we just changed our name back to Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters Podcast. Please remember, like, share, and subscribe. And also don't forget to leave a comment. If you want to support the show, there's always super chats. There are super thanks. And go in the description. There's PayPal links. There's buy us a coffee. There's also our store, miufopodcaststore.online. You can check us out there. And I think that's everything. Wait, Michelle, we got the join button, right? For right there. There it is. I'm looking at the join button. Click that. You can become a member and get cool emojis to use in the chat room. And it's just a small monthly fee that says you kind of like us.
You get all those cool stickers that Abby made.
Yeah. It's our little logo as emojis that my daughter made. She's a great artist, especially on her computer. She does all kinds of incredible art, as Diane just showcased.
Hey, there we go.
Yep.
All right, everyone, have a great night.
Yes, everybody.
I'm going to take myself back to Chicago Fire.
And I'm going to take myself back to Laughlin, Nevada.
Oh.
Or at least pretend that I am, because I want the temperature back. So
I think that'll be our fall thing. I think that's what I want for my 50th. It'll yep. still be hot.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope we didn't sound too long-winded and going through that horrible government document, but it had to be done. We had to do our due diligence and not scream, "It's all fake."
Yeah, it's the only time I hear Wayne's voice get that high-pitched.
TR3B. They can beam words into your head. Yeah, okay. It's not a TR-3B.
All right, take care, everyone.
All right, everybody.
And keep your eyes
to that sky.
Our little sky watchers.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. Let's go!
You have been listening to the Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters podcast. You can reach us at mi.ufo.podcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @mi_UFO and join our Facebook group by searching for Michigan UFO Sightings and Paranormal Encounters. So until next time.